Welcome back to the Mummy Dearest podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s, and today. Before we get started, would you like to double your Mummy Dearest content? Sign up for our Patreon, where you can pay as little as $5 a month for up to 4 episodes. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Mellon and Sloan Steele.
Oh boy. All right. Today we're unwrapping the 2009 romantic comedy Obsessed.
I loved it, Zach. I loved it.
This was a good little afternoon watch. Before we get started, I just want everyone to know that this is on Peacock.
Is it?
Did you rent it?
Of course I did.
It's because you don't do what I tell you to do like every time.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, if you don't know, if you have an Apple TV, if you just say the name of the movie into the Apple TV remote, it tells you where to watch it for free.
I make a mistake.
Literally every time.
Yeah. Well, next time. Maybe not. We'll
sure,
see.
Probably not. It was released April 29th, 2009, which I actually think is a really well-placed release date. I think that it's in the onset of summer.
It's a Taurus.
It's giving... Well, that's big. I think... That's a big Taurus energy film. And I think that releasing this before the blockbusters come out, but when everyone's still kind of in the mood to do like a little summer, late spring movie night is a perfect idea.
I think it was a great time. I can't wait to see what it made. How did this perform?
The budget was $20 million, which is kind of low, I think, because it was Beyonce.
Yeah, but Beyonce as an actor, I don't think commands as much as Beyonce the performer.
No, you're correct. I just feel like because it was Beyonce, they would be like, it only made $73.8 million, which is still pretty good for the budget. Yeah. You know what the funny thing is I was thinking is that if this movie came out today, it would probably make $300 million because our generation... With the same cast and everything, our generation like really appreciates camp divas thing, like movies like this. I feel like in 2009, we weren't at that level. Mm-hmm. We were like probably being like, oh my God, that movie is so stupid. It's so cheesy. It's whatever. Like the acting's bad. But nowadays, we would be going in hordes to go see that movie.
What if we had Coleman Domingo, okay, Beyonce? Well, yeah. And Taylor Swift.
Pedro Pascal.
Okay, well, Taylor Swift as Ali Larder's character.
Well, the Swifties would just completely take over the theaters and start to sing songs. It would be super annoying. I just feel like we didn't appreciate camp back then.
We didn't appreciate it like we appreciate it now, that's for sure.
And I just think this movie would have made more money today.
I think
the Beehive today is...
No, yeah, I feel like it wasn't Beyonce. Beyonce was definitely Beyonce at this point, but it wasn't like the fever pitch that it is now.
Correct. So I just feel like maybe they should have waited 10 years to release this film.
Can I say something about Beyonce right now?
I think you can.
Okay. She is such an incredible visual artist. Like her clothing, her albums, her like everything she does is so... It's so cool. But then when I see like 2000s Beyonce, it's so not dark. Her. It's got a dark energy. Is it because she finally came into her own as a performer?
Or is it the team
she has? Or is this her? Like, which version of Beyonce is the real Beyonce? Because I feel like she's so mysterious to me.
I think that when she came out with Lemonade... is when it shifted.
But is that what I guess what I'm asking, like, is that her? Is that her doing? Is that her creativity? Or is that like a team of people that are imposing that onto her?
I think that now Beyonce, this Renaissance Beyonce, that I think is her. I think that she like pop queen, like R&B princess in like the mid 2000s.
In like House of Darion.
Right. And she was doing like Destiny's Child. She was giving us Deja Vu. She was giving us all that stuff. And then I think when like Lemonade came out, she was like, I want to do something so different. I'm going to be like, Right. And then I think that she kind of got the poppy out of her system. Then she got like the real like hardcore stuff out of her system. And now she's like, now I'm going to do like the like what I want to do.
I love the country. I'm really excited for country Beyonce.
I'm really excited.
I just think that like all of the pop girlies going country this summer is like I'm in like no offense, Zach, but like I'm in the South. Like this is going to be my time. No,
listen, every summer I get like a little twang. Like every summer I like throw on a little country playlist and I'm just like driving with the windows down.
Yeah.
And it gets me in a country vibe and I always kind of have to hide it because I live in New England and if you're into country, then you hate the gays.
Yeah.
Now that I can have like an album where I can really get into country, it's like I had to just listen to Dolly Parton because like she's the only like liberal country person.
Yeah.
So, or like the Chicks.
But now you're going to get
the Dixie Chicks.
You're going to get like dark, moody country.
That's Lana, what I'm excited for.
Beyonce. We're going to get like
Musgraves.
Oh my God. I love. Have you heard her new song from her new album?
She talks about Wake and Baking.
Yeah. Her bong rips. Yeah. I'm a Casey stan.
Country music with bong rips is something I didn't think was coming.
Did you listen to the Casey song I sent you? It was like her and a guy. I sent you a while ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. And then I was like, Casey doesn't come in for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, but isn't it a good song?
It is a good song. I'm just really excited to have a moody, country, soft summer.
Yeah, me too.
And okay. Dolly Parton loves the – she says that she's like super excited for Beyonce's country album and like welcomes her with open arms.
How could you not? I would be like, hey, girl, you calling me in for the studio?
The radio stations are like not playing her music.
Oh my God. It's like, that's so fucking stupid.
I know. All the country people are coming for the radio stations. They're like, you idiot. Like, literally, the woman is from Texas.
She's a fucking Texan. Like, that's how much more Southern do you want her to get?
It's really crazy. But you'll play like Carrie Underwood's like poppy country music.
I don't know why white people think that like black people like aren't country.
They're literally like, the people who created it. I was about to say I read an article, but you know, I saw a TikTok and it was this guy explaining the trajectory of country music and how it's all just storytelling. And it originated with slavery and them telling their story. And they were doing it with instruments made from gourds, which then became a banjo. It's just like, it's just very like, and that you guys, that was like in the 1700s, 1800s. We're not talking about like medieval times here.
No, guys, like everything has come from black people. Just always know that. Even like hibachi, to be honest.
A hibachi is a darkness that I will not partake in.
I just had to sign. I think I took to bed this morning because I had to make another hibachi reservation. And then as soon as I made that reservation,
you go to hibachi like way too much to be a trustworthy person. Like
Do you think I want to be at hibachi? Do you think I want to have...
All Sloan does is zip line and go to hibachi. It's like so crazy.
If I could zip line into a hibachi restaurant. Paul was looking at, of course, he's, you know, in his summer planning mode. So we had to look at a bunch of Airbnbs and like LJ, Georgia, wherever the fuck that is. And I was laughing so hard last night because one of the places they had a zip line attached to the house. And they also showed you two different zip line courses nearby as like the feature. And Paul was like, oh, this one's good. I'm like, oh my God. I don't know what to tell you, Zach. Like, I can't get away from ziplining. Like, it's nuts. I am constantly ziplining.
No, she's a zipper, you guys.
How many zip lines have I gone on since you've known me? Seriously. Sloan, over 10?
You have gone on so many zip lines since I've met you.
My mom puked on a zip line course like just months ago. I mean, it's ziplining
is way too prominent in your life, in your family life.
Do you think I ever like grew up imagining I would be some kind of like zipliner?
You're a zipper.
That's so embarrassing, Zach. Like that is so embarrassing. Do you think I want to be there?
Sloan's like, there's nothing like a hard day, a long hard day of ziplining followed by some refreshments at a hibachi grill.
If it was up to Paul, we'd be at like a brew pub. Okay. So let's be thankful we're not at like a local brewery after a hard day on the ropes course. It's bad, Zach. He's like a Christian ministry leader. I'm like married to like a Christian ministry you leader. Are. It's true.
Father Paul.
Father Paul. Brother Paul.
Brother. Okay.
Brother Paul.
All right. The director of Obsessed is named Steve Schill. And he didn't direct like any other movies, but he did direct episodes of The Tudors, ER, Sopranos, Criminal Minds, Dexter, and Shameless. And there was like so many more, but like clearly this guy is just like directing drama.
I like what he's up to.
So thank you so much. Beyonce was 28 years old.
Okay.
Idris Elba was 37.
That's interesting to hear.
I found that to be tough. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, Zach, he's your age. Zach, he's your age.
But do we look that old, or does he look 37? And I just don't know what a 37-year-old looks like.
I think he looks older, however fantastic.
He's just very distinguished looking.
I agree. He looks mature.
Mature. Like, we don't look mature.
Ali Larter was 33.
Okay.
And Jerry O'Connell was 35.
All right. So these are comfortable ages. I'm comfortable with this.
I'm comfortable with it too. But what I'm not comfortable with is like, if they were recasting this today, it would be like Sydney Sweeney, Miles Teller, Austin Butler.
Sure would be.
You know what I mean? Like, so those people to me are not reading family.
That's the thing. Like, this read to me, like Beyonce and Idris with their son read as family.
Correct. Me too.
And I mean, I thought this film was really well cast. Like, I thought Beyonce was good in it, and I never think she's very good in stuff.
She's bad, but like, it was perfect for this role.
Yes. Like, she was giving us nothing, but she gave us whatever.
What we needed.
What we needed to believe it.
Correct.
And that was all she could do.
I'm going to call you back.
I'm going to call you back. I love when she was fighting her and she's like, you want some of me?
She was like, yo, I'm going to mop the floor with your skinny ass.
It was crazy. Those when lines they were kept, crazy.
The way she kept saying Kyle.
Kyle.
Kyle?
Kyle. Her accent in this movie was
her southern accent like really came out in this.
She looked very beautiful though. I'm going to give her that. She looked gorgeous. God. She was wearing so many flouncy tops, like the joie Sloan? Tops.
You're lucky that you get, like, she's lucky you gave her joie. The first note that I have is Beyonce in a Lauren Conrad Coles blouse.
Okay, like, it definitely was giving Coles, but I'm sure it was joie what was that other brand? Like, Rebecca Taylor? Minkoff.
Oh, Rebecca Taylor.
It was probably, like, one of those two. But, like, it was very close to, like, Chico's, you guys. Like, it was pretty crazy. Like, limited. Style.
With skinny jeans and those Louboutins that were like, they had like a half inch platform.
Ugh. Wearing them to walk around her house and go into the attic. Like, what are you talking about?
She was driving there to move into her new home and like move stuff, like to decorate
a home.
No
one's wearing 5-inch Louboutins to like move into their home. Like, I'm so sorry. You're wearing sneakers and overalls. Like, get real.
If denim is even like in your wheelhouse right now, like it's now so you're wearing gross. Leggings.
No, like this is so like you're wearing leggings and like a crappy shirt. Like you're
wearing Ivy Park.
She would be in Ivy Park. Is Ivy Park still around? Or is she like, I quit that?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Okay. Right off the bat, I said, chop this down to an hour and 30 minutes.
How long was it?
It was an hour and 50 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I just think maybe it could have been 20 minutes shorter.
I did notice that I started messaging you at like 9 a.m. and then I somehow finished the movie at like 1:30. So don't really know what was happening there, but it did take a while for me to watch it.
It didn't like feel like it was dragging. I just feel like we could have chopped it down a little bit.
I never felt like it was dragging. I just think like we get the concepts, like we probably don't need like more. And also like remind me or I'll write in my notes, like we need to redo that ending.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they move into this new house and right away they make the decision to burn the sold sign in their brand new fireplace with the baby carriage a foot away from the carriage. And then they leave the baby down there next to the fire to go have sex in the bedroom.
Correct. They do that. All while Norah Jones and Wyclef are playing in the background. Yeah, that was a tough note to see. They kept leaving. First of all, you're not supposed to leave a baby sleeping in a stroller really like that.
Yeah.
It's just not like
the baby safest. Wasn't sleeping.
I think he was asleep by the fire.
Was he asleep? Okay.
I think so. Because in my mind, I was like, you're not really supposed to leave the baby sleeping like in that position. Because they can lean forward and choke.
Just to like leave a baby next to a fireplace with like a weird sign that isn't even like paper, just like burning. And you're like, I think we should go christen the new bedroom.
Just like plastic burning. And they're like, yeah. Okay. And like the movers are coming and they don't know the neighborhood. They're just going to, just leaving their baby downstairs with the doors.
It just felt weird. That was a weird decision by the director or the writer, whoever made that choice.
Yeah.
Then we get, so right away he has to go to work. Like day one, they're at the house.
He's got to go in.
And he's got to go into work after they have sex. And we get there and the boss just immediately starts in on sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Immediately. He's like, check out that fine piece of ass walking by. And all the guys are like, yeah, you had that last week. It was just like, and it wasn't ironic. Here's the problem that they weren't doing this to make them sound like bad guys. It was,
this is just office culture.
This was just locker room talk.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you fuck her? Let's fuck that girl. So,
literally, the boss was like, check out the legs on that one.
It was like, it was just how things used to be, and they still are, but now it's hidden better, I believe.
I mean, I know that people do talk like that, but I feel like they're not doing it in group settings anymore. It's too risky.
I have asked Paul multiple times if like he and his friends talk like that, and he's like, I don't really talk like that, but he's like, yeah, of course, like my friends do. I'm like, I think you talk like
that's
that
like
too.
The most like of course he's gonna be like, I don't, but everyone else does.
But I actually like believe him because he's like, he's kind of like woke in weird ways.
No, I do. I don't think he's like saying like, I bet that pussy looks good under that pencil skirt.
No, I bet he is thinking that. No, he's Paul's like,
that's a big smelly hairy pussy under there.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, he's thinking like the like worst things, but like I respect that more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just like a surface level, like, oh, I'm gonna tap that. He's like, I wonder how big and beefy those like wet lips are.
Yeah. He's like, I wonder if she kind of let her armpits grow a little bit.
Yeah. He'd like that. Nasty boy. Okay.
I do. So we get a champagne spilling trope, which I really hate.
Champagne, when did the champagne spill?
It's when they take the cork out, and everyone that does this in a film or movie just lets champagne go all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I try to like get a paper towel ready.
Put it over the sink, and then when it stops fizzing, then you can go pour it.
I don't really like just let it go wild unless it's like I'm in a hotel room and I'm about to like have sex, I guess.
I'm gonna
get it poured on my tits in a bathtub or something.
That's fine, but I hate when people let things spill. I hate spilling.
I really get like very triggered by spills.
I hate it.
They're like one of my number one most hated events is a spill.
Sorry, everybody.
It's okay. Zach's like a little under the weather again, as you probably
not even. I haven't been sick in so long. It was due.
It's been like 2 months for sure.
Well, I had like my shoulder situation, so I did. Okay. I was infirm for a little while. I just wasn't sick. We get something else that really pisses me off, and I think it pisses Sloan off, where Beyonce like goes to the grocery store and she starts telling stories about how her like 1-year-old son is flirting with all the women at the grocery store.
Ugh.
And Allie Larder is then like, he's going to be a heartbreaker. And I just hate that, you guys.
I don't like it. I don't like when we sexualize little children. I don't like it when we put them in shirts that say like, you know, lock up your boys or daddy or mommy's little heartbreaker.
It's so weird to be like, he was flirting with everyone at the grocery. It's like,
this kid wanted to fuck.
That's what I mean. It's just a weird thing to say.
This 18-month-old, he was horny.
He just like loved all the women. It was just, it's very weird.
Very weird. I'm with you. As you know, I'm with you.
I would love a sequel where maybe the kid's a little older and he's like, I'm gay, you guys. I wasn't flirting at the grocery store.
Well, I'll tell you how we got to that sequel in a minute.
Okay, cool. Okay. The immediate hatred between Allie Larder and Beyonce's characters was so real. It's like Beyonce must have been a water sign in this film because when Allie Larder, first of all, Beyonce hears that he has a female temp and she's like, I thought we promised no. I think she's a Scorpio.
I mean, as a Scorpio, I would never outwardly say something that crazy, but I would hope
or she's
that.
Like, you said that you weren't going to have any female assistants.
I do think that is Scorpio behavior. I'm just not a jealous. That's like my one weird thing is I don't have like jealousy Scorpio issues. Like I'm the least jealous person.
Are you?
Like,
if you found out that Paul's like assistant or secretary or whatever was a 33-year-old Allie Larder.
I mean, I would be like, I'm glad you have someone hot to look at. Don't fuck her.
Oh, okay.
Like, that is so, it's not like.
I think water signs, and obviously I'm just astrologizing, but I think sometimes there is this thing where it's like, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And like, the consequences are already lined up. So.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not married to a cheater, so I'm not like worried about it. He should be worried about me just because of my loose moral code. It's okay if I do it. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But I literally trust him and know that he has like literally no time to cheat. He's like so career driven and like focused. And there would be no time for like any kind of like flirty shenanigans. So I'm okay with it.
Beyonce is not okay with it. She says, you promised you weren't going to have a hot secretary. So,
well, because Beyonce was his hot secretary and you lose them find them. That's like, that's I think the truest thing. If you are with somebody because you guys like cheated on your partners and now you're together, like they're going to cheat. It's going to happen again. That's it.
We do. Then we find out that like Patrick, who's like the office gay, he's really Idris Elba's assistant.
Yes.
They do gays wrong in this movie.
They really are not gay friendly in this film. It is the biggest stereotypes I've ever seen in my life.
I wish that Patrick in the end had like redeemed himself and maybe like gone against.
No.
Was her name Lisa?
I think Lisa, yeah.
But he is this pathetic little office gay and she calls him and he's like, girl, we haven't talked in so long. And then she's like, I'm going to go kill someone. And he's like, but you just called.
Like, that's literally their convo.
It's like crazy. And like, it's just sad. I guess maybe in 2009, he didn't have any other gay friends or something. I don't know. It just was sad.
It was sad.
It was sad to watch that pathetic gay like be so cruel.
When Idris Elba calls him and Lisa, he was like, all right, you girls behave.
If Idris Elba ever called me a girl, I'd be like, I'm daddy's little girl.
Yeah, I'm daddy's little girl. In Allie Larder's defense, if that was my boss, I would also literally sneak into their house, try to murder his wife and wear his baseball or football jersey. Okay.
They just played it wrong. Like she played it wrong. She needed to play the long game.
Yeah.
She was like a little too eager. I think like she
3 days in.
That's what I mean. It was just a little too crazy for that.
She could have long gamed that and really gotten in, but the throwing herself at him in 3 days was crazy. But again, she was a crazy person.
Beyonce to call her Liz was so good.
That was so funny. So the reason she calls her Liz, for those of you who haven't seen this movie, Beyonce, like I guess, calls The Office and she says, you know, I'm his wife, Sharon, like give him this message. And then we find out later that Idris Elba didn't know that she had called because Lisa said someone named Shannon called. And so then Beyonce calls her Liz instead of Lisa, which is just, it was a really good little.
It was a
like,
good little.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They just like hated each other from like the hatred. From the jump.
Well, I felt like Lisa was trying to not give out the hatred vibes, but like, which maybe her acting was just a little bit better than Beyonce's choices because Beyonce's choice was just like, oh, hell no.
I feel like Beyonce actually hated Allie Larder.
It was very like a palpable hatred on that film.
That hatred was so real to me.
I would be so scared if I was Allie Larder having to like physically fight with Beyonce. I would be like, I don't want to have to do this. I'm like, I really respect you and love you and care about you.
So then what's the guy, what's Idris's name in this? I forget. Oh, Derek.
Yeah, Derek.
Derek goes to the office Christmas party where Lisa then barges into a stall and tries to like rape him essentially. Mm-hmm. And I was getting so mad in this. Yeah. Like, I understand how someone would accidentally murder someone after watching this scene.
Yeah.
This I literally wrote, I would have choked her out.
That was a really infuriating scene. For He's sure. Like,
begging her to stop.
And there's like someone in the bathroom. So like it looks really bad from like every angle and you like can't get away. So then he's like, then he like kind of tries to like play into it. And he's like, yeah, shh, like let's be quiet. And she just keeps going. And he's like, and like, stop it. Enough.
That is, it was the same energy as when a kid's running away from you laughing and you just, and they think you're joking and you have to just eventually like scare the shit out of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He, I think he should have just immediately opened the stall and pushed her out and been like, get out.
Yeah, but in front of that guy, that would have gotten around the office. But then it would have looked bad.
I know, but like.
No one is going to believe that Allie Larder got in that stall. Like the story is too crazy.
I know.
And it would get around the office so fast.
This was a true story about victim blaming.
I mean, this was like, this had levels to it. Like it was nuanced. This movie got me like really upset because like if this is happening to you, like you're so fucked. I mean, it was like the role reverse and it was like the woman was crazy and the man wasn't doing anything wrong. But like, I mean, that can happen.
That was like very scary to watch.
It was like I didn't remember like everything that happened. And I was like, oh, my God, no one is ever going to believe this guy. But then like now that we live in an era where like. You could track down, like she gets hospitalized. We'll get there eventually. And she sends herself flowers, but addresses them from him. Like nowadays, that's an easy thing to track down, like to see who bought the flowers, like who called and placed, like you can track all these things. So it's easier to like prove your innocence. But on face level, it's like, oh my God, like this is so fucking scary. And like you, I don't know if I was Idris Elba and my wife is already like, I don't want you having like a hot person, blah, blah, blah. I feel like I wouldn't be like, she got drunk at the holiday party and like came on to me. I don't think I would have like said that.
I agree because the thing is like, you don't say those things to your partner because you know that it's going, you know, it meant nothing and that nothing happened, but you also know that it's going to like, to splinter your relationship.
Yeah.
So you're like, is it worth it to even talk about this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like going to put a little like kernel of doubt. And then like, as things kept going and escalating, it would make you look even more guilty. Like you have to somehow be involved in this. Like no one's this crazy that they're just like, become like incredibly a wealthy,
prominent businessman with like a hot young It's secretary, like,
yeah,
and like you're going to tell me you didn't cheat. Yeah.
It just doesn't look, it doesn't sound believable.
It doesn't. That's what was so scary. And I just like showed up to that stall, like ready to fuck.
I mean, she came to that party ready to fuck. She had those dirty martinis ready to fuck.
And then she calls Derek. I mean, she calls Patrick a silly little queen.
Yeah, she was pretty fucking mean to him.
Silly little queen.
She's so mean to Patrick. Everybody
is.
Oh
my God. And then we get, so after that, it blows over a little bit, but then she gets into Derek's car in a trench coat.
Classic.
And then she does this like really awkward
reveal.
Lingerie reveal. And that, yeah, like she does this, like she like thrusts her body forward and
she
like gets
rips
into
open,
an angle.
She rips, she's in a front seat. So like you can't really move back that much. And she like rips it open and like tries to like lay down, but she's like at a very strange angle trying to look sexy. I mean, she still looks sexy, but it was just,
of course,
it was a wild move.
It was so weird.
I've never looked sexy sitting in a car.
No, nobody does.
Mm-mm.
Your stomach is hanging over your private parts.
I mean, always.
So it kind of like fades out after that. I think he thinks that she gets the message.
Mm-hmm.
And we get like little happy times. There's Christmas, New Year's, all this stuff. And he goes to check his email late at night after the New Year's Eve party. And there's an email with like 20 pop-ups of her like in lingerie.
I can't do it else.
You guys, this was such a relatable moment where like someone is in the room and like your porn pop-ups have come up and you have to do this thing where you have to calmly X out all of them and hope that the person doesn't like, see what you're doing.
And Ali Lauder has somehow sent him like 70 pictures of her in a row of her in a fedora, which is like, if you're trying to get somebody's if you're trying to get somebody's attention, like, I don't know if I would go like a fedora route. I just don't think I would. Maybe I would. I don't know.
In 2009, I think that's how you got people's attention.
I mean, I know I did have a jean fedora, and I guess like I would hire like a photographer to come take pictures of me like in like a little suit with my fedora on, and then be like, "This is really sexy."
I'm gonna send this to my boss.
Temp girl.
Then we see Beyonce in a pale yellow James Purse panel shirt, which we've talked about on this podcast so many times, and we finally got a movie with one in it.
I loved everything they put her in. I thought felt really real to like a housewife in this era.
Oh,
it was really good.
Beyonce's wardrobe in this was accurate.
I had not, like, there's one point where she puts on, like, a tight-fitted dress that did not need a big, chunky patent leather waist belt, but baby, we got one anyway.
Oh, my God.
Putting a thick leather belt on things that didn't need leather, like, a belt is so...
A t-shirt.
So 2000s.
A tight white t-shirt with an 8-inch thick patent leather elastic belt.
Crazy.
With the platform Louboutins and skinny dark jeans.
At one point she had on like a skinny J brand jegging, a white shirt, a vest.
No, so when I have it, I said tight t-shirt, mini waistcoat.
It was a mini waistcoat.
And like slouchy high-heeled suede boots.
So it was like I had that exact outfit. Throw a statement necklace on and you're ready for a party.
An owl necklace?
Oh, like of course. Or like I had like one like embroidered like puffy beaded heart on like four chains. Oh my God. Like what in the fuck? What in the fuck?
I'm surprised that they didn't put her in like a skull scarf.
We were really close to getting a skull scarf. Like, very... I'm sure there was one floating around that set, for sure. It was... But apparently, by the way, the skull scarf is, like, coming back.
No.
I saw a TikTok of it the other day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone found one.
I know that you saw this, too, but I mean, for those of you who haven't seen this on social media, there's, like, a rumor floating around that James Corden could be linked to a Glee reboot?
It's been debunked.
Thank God.
It was like another one of those fake movie things on
Facebook.
It was
Facebook. Like Poo Crave.
Poo Crave wouldn't even tweet something that demented.
You guys, I seriously have had a stomach ache since seeing that. Like,
I removed it from I posted it on my stories and then I had it debunked and then I removed it because like I didn't want to have to spread that kind of hateful misinformation and make people upset for no reason.
If that were to ever happen, this world would truly be at a loss.
That would be the end of days. That's literally the end of days, like end of days shit.
James Corden in a Glee boot.
I will never get over when I saw Matthew Morrison at the airport dressed like a shaman. Like, I'll never get over it. Like, hat, sunglasses, beads, probably a skull scarf. He had, like multiple, like, that, like, kind of, like, Afghan scarf, you know?
Like, and then, like, an infinity scarf?
It was, like, an Afghan print infinity scarf, like, with tassels.
Oh.
Like, it was, like, Chelsea boots, a cream kind of like cowboy hat, you know, like the felt kind of like truly like like a Coachella outfit at the LAX airport. And I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It was shook me to the core.
I still have a Diesel scarf that has like fringe all the way around. And it was blue, but like bleached. Like bleach was like kind of like sprinkled on it.
Are you sure you should be doing this? Still having this?
I'll never wear it, but for some reason I won't get rid of it.
I just don't think you need that.
I used to wear it with t-shirts and like a funky hat. And I would wear it like a big like bandana around my neck.
I really think you need to like get rid of that. I'm not even kidding.
I know. It's like dark energy.
I don't like that like at all.
Like a conductor hat.
No. No.
I need to find pictures of me in those outfits.
The conductor hats.
Urban Outfitters conductor hats.
My high school boyfriend, I know I've told this story before, but my high school boyfriend had a conductor hat, and he went to a different school. So when he would like show up at one of our parties, one of my like guy friends that I'm sure like I had hooked up with or something was like, oh, look, your train conductor boyfriend's here. Choo choo. Whenever he would show up in his train conductor hat and guy liner. Yeah, it was a time. What can I say?
All right. So that takes us to the roofie scene. Okay. Where he's on like a work trip and she shows up unannounced and roofies him.
Yeah, she sure does. She sure does.
He wakes up. I mean, here's the thing though. Like, have we all not dreamed of being able to just like touch someone's body like that without like them being like, stop?
You want me to edit that part out?
What I mean is, don't you feel like you've like wished you could just like, when you have a crush on someone, you're like, I just wish that I could like touch them.
Oh yeah, yeah, without them like in a more in like not a rape way, but like in a ghost way.
In a ghost, yeah, like I just mean like maybe you're, if you were invisible and you could watch them in their room, if hearts were unbreakable.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Like, I want to be able to like, I don't want to see them do something weird. I just want to see them like live their life.
Yes.
I don't want to see them like jerking off or naked. Like, I want to see them like reading a book or like writing in their diary. Or
sometimes you just become someone like infatuated with someone. Like, you just want to like know what their arm feels like.
Yeah, I get that. I do get that. I think we got there. It was worded weird at first, but now we're there.
Sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
Okay, not your fault.
Page Six will just take that little blurb and use it when I'm famous.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I'm going
to
tell you
the
truth.
Well, guess what? They'll have to sign up for Patreon to get it. So jokes on you, Page Six. After that, she does like a little like committal, like she tries to unlife herself.
Mm-hmm.
She does a little like committal, but it's more of like a, she knows she's not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
She just wants everyone, she wants the attention. She wants Derek to feel bad. But this kind of like makes her look bad. And like the detective is like, baby, like he doesn't want to come here to the hospital. Like he doesn't want to see you.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It is really sad, but she doesn't take that lying down well.
She is literally like strapped to a gurney, but she's just like, no, you guys don't get it. Like he's in love with me. This is
and
very
then Beyonce
me.
Has to hear it.
Beyonce finding out about this in
she
this
was
way.
Naked in your bed?
Yeah, this was a tough time for Beyonce. I don't think I would have like kicked my man out of the house and like only listened to like 07 for 3 months, but it was still, I don't know. That was it's tough to find out your husband's involved in some like really freaky woman's like drama because like
because
she has the
you
hospital.
Know, we've all watched true crime and like we know that he actually did do it.
He did do it. But like, I also understand what she did with like the taking the pills stunt queen status. Like I respect that.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, because I just got to that note in my thing, and right before that note was gay man and evil woman undefeated duo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I respect what she did. I think it's always like a good way to get a guy's attention is to like take a bunch of pills and end up in the hospital because it makes you look like you've got your shit together and you're willing to do whatever it takes to be in a relationship. Like you look normal doing that.
Yeah, it's very like
stable. Sends a good signal.
Yeah, sends a really good signal. So she does
like, don't you see I love you?
She kicks Derek out of the house, which was aggravating because I think in a relationship where like you just will not listen to the person that you in the sense where she was saying like we vowed our like lives together and like you said that you would do all this and tell me the truth. I mean, and his retaliation could be like, well, then why aren't you like listening to me? Like, why aren't you trusting me? Like, why are you trusting this crazy person?
It's fair.
You won't even like listen to me, but you're like spouting all this like vow shit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, because I think that she knows how they ended up together.
She's got some insecurities.
she's got some insecurity. She's feeling very insecure. Like, this would make, this would definitely make me feel very insecure as well. So I
100%.
I don't disagree with Beyonce, but I also feel like if you think your man is like cheating on you and you're not ready to like get divorced, like why would you like be like, why don't you go stay at the Four Seasons and your little slut can go visit you there?
She says, pack your toothbrush, your underwear, and your prophylactics if you need them. And then he says, and go where? She says, to hell. But until then, I suggest maybe the Four Seasons.
This guy was paying like $1,000 a night for 3 months at the Four Seasons. Crazy. Absolutely.
To hell.
To hell. Rotten hell.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell. Okay.
So after the 3 months happen, they get back together. The 3 months is just like a montage.
Set to it's zero, like a seven. Little.
Yeah, and it's a little like moody montage where he's like going to the playground, picking him up, dropping him off, all that stuff. They end up getting back together, and Sharon gives him Sharon, like weird choice for a name.
Very
like, or like a 28-year-old new mom.
Sharon's not the name.
So he like comes back into the house. They go out on a date, all this stuff. They're getting ready to go down to San Diego for, I think, like a grandma vacation or something.
Yeah, they're going to go see her parents, which is like, yeah, Beyonce, something let's, like that. Are you, let's plan something a little bit sexier for your husband coming back after
your
you
newly
think he's
arrived
cheated on.
Husband. Yeah.
Yeah, like, come on.
Kyle is at his aunt's house, and Sharon like does this like coming and going thing where she's like, she's going down to San Diego early. So like she leaves the house, forgets her purse.
Wait, before that, we didn't even talk about what happens when they're on the date and the baby gets kidnapped.
Oh my God, wait.
The going back to the house fight scene happens after later. They have the security system because Allie yeah. Larder has snuck into their house and taken their baby.
Okay, yeah. So they go on their little date to make amends. Mm-hmm. And Lisa does this like con artist thing where she tells the babysitter that she's Sharon's friend and she's just here to drop off a present for Kyle.
Yep.
And Lisa's power move here was like so good. Like she does, she bluffs and like pretends to call Sharon and she's like making the babysitter think that Sharon's like that little bitch babysitter giving you trouble. And she's like, oh no, she was just doing her job. Do you want to talk to her?
So good. This is the thing. If you guys want to commit crimes, do drama, like things like this, like you just have to like.
You have to be brave.
You have to be brave. And most importantly, you should probably be like an attractive white woman because no one's going to think you're up to shenanigans if you're an attractive white woman that's like well-dressed. Like she looked very much like she could be like
confident.
A clean, confident friend of Sharon's.
Yeah.
Dropping something off her car. Like I wouldn't have. I think I also wouldn't have like batted an eye. But then when the person was like really pushy into the house, I would have been like, no.
I think
like,
I would have gone upstairs with them.
I wouldn't have said, I mean, I guess, let me think about who I am at 16. Yeah, I guess I probably would be like, come back later. And then when the person's like, you're doing a good job. That's like, that's smart. Stranger danger. Then I would have probably been like, that would have disarmed me. And I would have probably like sat down and like started T9 texting my boyfriend again.
You're right. So she goes upstairs and she does really creepy stuff with the baby. She's like holding the baby close to breastfeeding the baby, but we don't get there. So that was like really weird. She leaves the house, but we don't see her leave. We just hear her say like, bye. So they come home and we get this like crazy, the girl's like, oh, your friend was here. She dropped off a present and she's like, what did she say? Kate or something?
Like Mary?
She's like, I don't have a friend. That's not my friend. And they're running around looking for the baby.
Mm-hmm. Baby gone.
Super stressful. He gets in the car. Derek gets in the car and the baby's just in the car.
Strapped
now
in.
Sharon's like, okay, I like 100% believe you now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what we needed. What we needed for her to be like on board with this.
We need them to band together.
Correct. So then... She's leaving the house for this vacation. She sets the alarm, comes back because she forgets her purse, forgets to set the alarm, leaves the house again. Now Lisa's in the house, setting up champagne flutes, getting the champagne ready. She's delusional. Delulu. She's having a mentee bee.
This is a full Delulu. Like, this is me at Pedro Pascal's, like, hotel room. I've
Tuscan
broken,
villa.
I've climbed up like an outside, like a trellis with vines. I'm cut up. I get into his room. First of all, he's gay. No interest in me.
Well, 0%. Allegedly.
No interest in me. I'm in his room. I'm wearing like a cowboy hat, a Chilean soccer jersey, no panties. I might have even shaved up a little bit down there. I mean, let's not go crazy, but like maybe I tried to do something.
You put like a one guard on.
I did.
Give a little buzz cut.
Just zip. Right. Just so it's like a very nice stubble right when you get to it.
Correct.
So C-section scar and then puffy pussy stubble. Who doesn't want that? That's so hot. So that's basically what I did or what she did. I would do the same thing if I had the opportunity. I don't think she did.
I get being a little delusional. Like, I get it. So
I understand in her mind, her being like, no, he has to play it this way, but he's like in love with me.
It's like, he has to like pretend because he's married, but like,
yeah, but like it's obvious. So like we're in love, like it's fine. That is
so
me.
Sharon. So Derek calls and he's like, did you set the alarm? And she's like, no, I'll go do it right now. So she comes in the house and she hears the champagne bottle pop. She hears popping bottles.
Yep.
In her bedroom. And she goes upstairs and they like calmly meet for a second.
If I was doing the craziest, most Delulu thing in the world and the person walked in on me in this scenario, I don't think I would have just like calmly sat there like Ali Larter did. But I guess she
was. You know what
like,
I missed?
What?
I missed when Beyonce makes the first phone call and leaves the voicemail. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you think you're crazy? You ain't seen nothing. And then she says, try me, bitch.
I did like that part.
I want to put a video next to each other where it's her saying try me bitch and Jodie Foster saying put him on the phone bitch from Panic Room.
I would like that too.
I need to figure
put him on
out.
The phone bitch
put him on the phone bitch
put him on the phone bitch. This is Danvers.
So
sorry guys, true detective callback.
So I loved that, but yeah, so then they find each other and we get the fight of the century. We get a knockdown, drag out cat fight. It's truly about to be a what? A girl fight.
It's truly.
We about to throw them bows.
It was truly a fight on another level. Like we've got lamps hitting. We've got hair pulling, pushing, shoving, falling downstairs, falling through roofs. I mean, we've got it all.
It was like a sibling fight to me. Like that was.
Yeah. Like that level of just her, like.
Ali Larter holding on to the banister railing while she's like yanking at her foot. I was like, that's definitely something my sister and I have done. Like,
no, this was very much a sibling fight where it's like no holds barred, just like brutal.
You like are there's like moments in sibling fights when your kids were like, you're like,
I'm gonna kill them.
My goal is to kill you. Like, it's like
this won't end until I'm physically separated from you.
That's yeah, like you do feel like that sometimes. It's
the
crazy.
Like the terror, the tearing the person's clothes and like holding on to them, like that tussle.
It's
oh my
crazy.
God. I would give anything to just fight with my sister right now, like a physical fist fight. Maybe I'll do that for her birthday.
That'd be good, like nostalgic.
Yeah. Yeah.
She does start to say things like, I'm gonna mop the floor with your skinny ass and like all that stuff.
Valid.
Loved it.
Loved every second of this fight.
The phone rings and Derek can like hear crazy things happening. And she just says like, Derek, I'm gonna call you back.
That was a cool line.
I love that line.
Beyonce was like so excited. She's like, oh, I'm ready to go.
She was her like little like.
Oh my God. She was doing like undulating.
She was doing like, have you ever played Tekken?
She's literally like a free, like the character freeze screen where they're like kind of bouncing back and forth. Yes. That's what she was doing. If I had to get in a fight like this, I would have like
you would run do praying mantis.
I mean, I would definitely hit him with a praying mantis, a lot of hi-yahs, and then I would like run away as fast as I could. Like I would never like engage in the fight. I would like run.
I think that I would just think that I could end it and then realize like, oh, this person also has like muscles. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I think I can't explain it, but then they make it into the attic. Mm-hmm. Somehow. And
I didn't see how they got up to the attic.
Ali Larter like went up there to hide.
Okay.
And Beyonce like went up and followed her. And Beyonce's like, oh, I know what's gonna happen here. Like, I know how we can fix this. So she's doing this like really overacted balancing technique on the floorboards.
Yeah.
Knowing that if Allie steps on them, she'll fall right through.
Yeah.
So that does happen. And she's holding on to the like to a railing. And we get like the thing where Beyonce's like, fuck, I can't let this person like die. This is crazy.
Yeah. Allie crashes through the floor and she's about to like literally
she's like
die.
19 stories up. And what I thought was like kind of a normal it was always house. Like a big home, I guess, but like it just didn't seem to be like I didn't realize the ceilings were that vaulted. Like
it was like a 50-foot drop.
It was. So she is dangling and Beyonce's like, okay, I can't like
kill her.
It's like, yeah, like you're like that's what happens with siblings. You're like, okay, I can't actually kill them.
Yeah.
So she's like, give me your hand, and she takes her hand, but then she's like, oh no, we're both gonna die, actually.
Well, because Allie Letter's like, I'm going to pull you down with me. Like,
I'm pulling you down with me.
We're going down with the ship.
But what I would have done is just broken her. I would have taken one of her fingers and snapped it off.
I don't know why Beyonce didn't, like, bite her really hard.
Yeah.
I think I could,
you just
like,
take a middle finger off of, like, the arm that's holding you and just rip it off. Crack it right off.
I wonder how hard it is to, like, break somebody else's finger.
I mean, I eat a lot of chicken.
No, I think you could do it pretty easily.
That's what I mean. If you really put your muscle into it, you could easily break it off.
Yeah, I would need to get in a fight, like a fight to the death like this, and then see really what I'm made of. I feel like there's a good chance I could be made of enough metal. Not metal, yeah. But like I have enough, like I could do it.
Yeah.
But it would have to be like protecting Rex. Like, I don't think if I was in a fight for just my own life, I would be like, guys, I like don't care like at all.
Like in Saw.
I'm literally not doing this. Like, this is stupid. This is really stupid. It's not for me.
No,
I agree. If it was like I was defending my child, then like, yeah, I would go like as crazy as Beyonce went. For sure.
Yeah, for Kyle.
For Kyle.
Kyle. So then she ends up falling through the glass plate table. She looks back up at Beyonce. She's like, bitch, I didn't die.
That girl fell 50 feet and then cracked her neck on like the metal bar of the table and fell through plate glass. But like, she's fine. She's up.
And
she's
then up and the chandelier does her in.
I never understand in movies when the chandelier falls and kills somebody. I feel like you could escape that.
I think if there's like a really sharp point of it and it like impales you.
I guess. But what should have happened to get us a sequel to this movie is when Beyonce then leaves the house because like Allie Larder's underneath a chandelier and on it, trapped in this table. When the detective goes in, they should have come out and said she's gone and just ended the movie like that. They should have ended it on like, there's no body there. Because Beyonce never checks. And then it's like, that leaves you open for a sequel, or it leaves it like a good open ending to be like, they're still like, she's never safe. Like this.
And then we get like a scarred Allie Larder, like seeking revenge to all housewives.
Yeah. She breaks up like all happy marriages.
Wow. I would love that. I would love that like trilogy.
Well, I mean, they never said she wasn't dead. Was dead in the movie.
I think that if Beyonce and Idris could get together and maybe do like a little 15 year later sequel.
Maybe Allie Larder has married, she's like a black widow now. So she's married and killed a bunch of husbands and she has a child.
She like successfully did it to another couple.
Yeah, exactly. She successfully did it to another couple and she's about to be exposed. So she kills that husband. And then for some reason, maybe she is like a professor now and her and Kyle is a student.
She's like a partner at a law firm.
You think she's a partner at a law firm?
Okay. What was Derek?
He worked at like Global Corp Enterprises as like vice president of presidencies.
Yeah, like it really was like
vice president of Circleback. Like I don't have any idea.
It literally was like email president or
president of schedule of Zoom meetings.
That is like literally what it was like.
So I don't know what his job was. It was like at one point I looked at the sign for the convention they were at, and it was literally like it said like financial meeting. Like literally, like
I think what happened
international financial meeting.
I think Idris Elba's character goes into a meeting for a merger. Okay. And it's with a Mrs. and then like whatever her married last name is.
Okay. Does she look the same or different?
It's Well, he hasn't met her yet. He's going into a meeting with like a Mrs. Johnson or something.
Okay.
And like Lisa Johnson, which could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in and there's a table full of people. And when he walks in and looks up, she's sitting at the head of the table smirking at him.
But is she horribly disfigured?
She's got scarring.
Can she have like a sort of like mask situation?
Like a half mask?
Yeah, like a Phantom of the Opera situation.
An eye patch?
She's got like an eye patch and like a gauzy like headscarf on. So you like never see her face.
Yeah. And she's like, something you must like be that. Derek.
She's like, I remember you, Derek. Do you remember me? Okay. We'll flesh that one out though. That needs a little work.
Needs a little work, but
yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's been Obsessed. I loved it.
I would give it
7 out of 10 for sure.
Yeah. I think I gave it 3 out of 5.
Yeah. It's like, turn it on. If it's on Peacock for sure, like throw it on, watch it. Super enjoyable.
Doze off for like 10 minutes.
Oh, you can doze off and wake up and you have not lost anything. You haven't lost 1 second of that plot. So you're fine. Just put it on. Jerry O'Connell's in it. He's topless. Zach and I felt something about that.
I know. That was like a weird, I guess because we don't see Jerry O'Connell topless often. So when we saw that little chest hair patch.
Maybe you don't.
In between. Well, yeah, that's true.
Maybe you don't. All right.
All right. Well, you guys know where to find us. We love you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
You reach the general prison.
Please wait for the beep.
Sharon, you there?
Derek!
Lisa?
What are you doing in my house?
Sheriff!
Oh. Derek, I'm gonna call you back.